Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Just a few places of Scripture. We won't take terrible long here. So we've got a really good up-and-coming guy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, as my Joel will says. Pastor Joel from Florida, Puerto Rican pastor. Look at verse 21 of chapter 5. As we get ready to give this morning. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, wait, maybe I should digress all the way to verse 32. Let me say this first. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Because the next verse says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let me say first, we're talking about Christ and the church. Okay? So we don't want to start any husband-wife debates from an offering. The pastor Jim or Dr. Jim gets to settle. Hallelujah. Because I turn anything over to him that I mess up, I know he's smart enough to fix anything I mess up. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. It says, husbands, for verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Two things here. From the word head, we get the word covering, which Christ is our covering, and from the word Savior, soter, or provider, provider of all of our salvation, everything, prosperity, beginning first with our eternal life, but then everything else that is included in that. He is the Savior or the provider of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he may present, or that he may might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, the word says he wants this church, and in the book of Revelation, he comes back and he receives the church. So from that, we know this. Somebody becomes that church. Somebody gets it done. I say, why not us and why not now? Why don't you turn to somebody and say, why not us and why not now? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man, everybody say no man. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. The Bible says no man ever hated his own flesh. Well, Pastor Bronk, I've gained 20 pounds. I just hate the way I look. That's not what this is talking about. That's superficial. Even when you say, boy, they got a big ego. They really like themselves. Candy, should I tell them what you tell Jimmy Miller on me? You shouldn't tell. Gary was talking about a friend of ours, Jimmy Miller. Every time we get around Jimmy, he's a comedian. He loves to hear this story. A number of years ago, we were at a Tulsa conference, and Candy and I were in the hotel room. We were getting ready, and we were probably almost done, ready to go to one of Pastor Dave's services. And she came out. Now, she tells a story. I shouldn't be telling this about myself, but she came out of the bathroom, and about that time she heard me say something like, you're looking good today. And she turned to say, well, thank you, honey, and found me staring into the mirror. So that's the only time I've ever done that. only time. That's not what this verse is talking about. This is instinct. This is primal. This goes way beyond how you feel about yourself. He said, no man ever hated his own flesh. This is the very instinct of man. If you find a vagrant out there, it doesn't matter how demented he is. When it gets cold, when it starts to rain, he'll step under a tree. When he wakes up hungry, he'll look for something to eat. This goes right down to instinctive nature. This is something, nourishing yourself, providing for yourself is such an instinct. It's the number one. They say survival is the number one. You say, prove it. I tell you what, go on a 2-week fast. Go on a 1-week fast. Go on a 3-day fast. At the end of it, your wife in her best little black dress, if I can say it modestly, will not look nearly as good as a cheeseburger. Wife dress, wife cheeseburger. I'll take the cheeseburger. This is instinctive. It's so instinctive that even when CSI finds somebody that has done something horrible to themselves, and they've done away, even that last breath, they find that people claw the walls to breathe that last breath. This is so instinctive. It goes right down to the basic nature of man. And that's what he's describing. He's describing something very strong here. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bone. So what it's telling us there is this. What is so, if you want to say it, primal, what cannot be dismissed, what he is by very nature, and if we are his church and we are his bride, and if a man loves himself, he's saying this, that which cannot be taken from him, it is there by nature. You cannot separate it. You cannot make Christ be anything he is other than what he is, and that he loves you with a passion that is beyond describable, undescribable. He loves you so instinctively that there's nothing inside of him that will not always provide for you. Let's continue on. He says here, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And he says this, Paul says this, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now everybody say, great mystery. It's a great mystery. Why is it so great? Because it is the mystery that he's describing here, even when we get to him being our provider, of everything that is from the very beginning. Now Gary's been teaching by the Holy Spirit this week on the very beginning of everything that we were intended on by God to be conformed to, and that is the express image of Christ Jesus. Looking in chapter 1 of Ephesians here, just 3 verses. Verse 3 says this, and I want to show you how great this mystery is. Just for a moment, just for a few moments. He says here, blessed, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everybody there? Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him. Who's in him? Christ. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And it says that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now, when it says world here, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. How great is this mystery? How instinctive is this thing that Paul is talking about? It goes all the way back to the beginning. And he says, before the foundation of the world. Now in Hebrews, when Hebrews chapter 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Now, we've understood this. That word world there means eons. It's a time, an age, a dispensation. We're living in our eon right now. 2012 is a certain eon. It's a certain dispensation, a time. He says those people that Gary's been talking about this week, they framed, in other words, they impacted their time frame by the things they did, although we found out this week even more explicitly that they did not inherit the promise, and yet they impacted their time. That word is the world eons. This word is the world cosmos. It says this, again, that He has chosen us in Him before the cosmos, meaning this, and the word foundation means the beginning. Before Genesis 1:1, before He said, let there be light, He chose you and I in Christ Jesus. Before, you know, Adam is created, Gary gave us that beautiful picture, dust of the earth. I like to say it this way, if he's clay, before the clay ever dried on Adam's nose, Jesus Christ had already been crucified in the heart of God. And we were already, it says in verse 5, and have predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. We were predestined. In other words, well, you know, there has been a lot. There's been dissertations. I don't know what Dr. Jim wrote his on. He wears his doctorate real well, doesn't he? There's been dissertations written on predestination. It just simply means this. He intended that everybody get saved. Everybody find Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. One last scripture. Who said this first? What Paul just said. Who said this first? What Paul just said to us, that this is a great mystery. And just before he said this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One last verse, and then we'll be done, and then we'll turn it over to Gary. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 21. Hallelujah. Everybody there. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And all the men say, yay, hallelujah. And Adam said, this is what Adam said. This is bone of my bone. This is what Paul just said. And flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, Paul quotes Adam because Adam begins to prophesy, and he's not just setting up homekeeping or what would make up a family. Even though Adam doesn't know it, Paul says, what I just told you is a mystery, and the mystery is really Christ and the church. And watch what Adam says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. What is he saying? If from the beginning, from the mysteries, if this is a great mystery, and from the beginning of the world, we're hearing of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of the church. When Adam says, this is my wife, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, for there's no other fathers and mothers right then, it's just Adam and Eve, but he's basically saying, for the posterity of all humanity, every man will leave his father and mother, Paul says, forsake, and cleave unto his wife. And Paul says, this I'm pulling in as part of what I'm telling you, what Adam says. This is part of the mystery of Christ in the church. What is he saying there? Why does he take that instinct? instinctive nature and pull it in, even to our provision, simply because of this. When he says he will leave father and mother, and he says this is Christ, when he says that, forsaking what he is trying to paint the picture of is this. When Christ became everything to you, and when he died for you, he is saying this. When a man leaves his father and mother, he's not disdaining them, but what happens is that woman becomes the fulcrum of his thought life. She becomes a sanctified, if you want to say it, obsession. All of his thoughts, all of his energy, everything is turned without any distraction on her. And that's what Christ has become to you. Everything that he is as a provider is provided for you. And when you stand before him, and when you believe, and when you're living as believing that he is your provider, let me tell you this, he is not distracted. He can get it over to you. He is your head. He is your provider. Now, we don't teach give it all. We don't take and say, if you give it all, give more, you'll be more blessed. We say, listen to him. But I can tell you this, if he did tell you, give it all, believe this, you don't have to be afraid. He is your provider. He is not distracted. The fulcrum, everything that he is focused on making sure you get all you need in this life and much more. Hallelujah.